She's so cute. Oh, you're going to hear me talking here in just a second.
Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
That is my, you know how many times I had to record that intro? So many times. They kept on redoing it and redoing it and redoing it. So it's funny, right?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like me.
She likes the name.
Oh, you do? Oh, Flipping Off. Yes.
She blushed.
All right. Okay, everybody. Guys. This is Melina Boswell, co-founder of New Wealth Advisors Club. And today in the studio, I have an intimate little setting. So we're going to have a conversation, first of all, with my son, David Boswell.
Hey, family.
And today we have, this is the first time ever, actually, that we have a homeowner, a seller that has joined us in our studio and on our podcast. So everybody say hello to Diane Freimeyer.
Hey, Diane.
Hello. I'm the first victim, right?
To come forward.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I appreciate that so much. So guys, today I was just having a conversation. Diane really is a homeowner, a seller that we've worked with for a couple of years now. And so this is the first time, this is like uncharted territory that we are embarking on today.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Be very afraid. And for listeners out there, you know, David has sort of taken over the content of the podcasting. If you think back to how we've arrived here, I think it's important to understand, which is David's only been back home and working in the company with me for the last year since his dad died. And, you know, the first year, I think, for us was like this crazy, I don't know, like boat ride almost that we've been on and trying to understand, you know, Dave and I had a plan of our kids kind of stepping into our business and it was going to be in about 5 to 7 years is when, you know, and then bam, no, now. So boys moving home in the middle of grief, trying to figure it out. And so like there were so many conversations that we had. Dave's looking at me like, why are you talking about this right now? But I think it's important for everybody to get because it's really the truth. Trying to understand where do the boys fit? Like, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do in the business, you know? And what we've learned over the last year is that David's real gift is in marketing and being creative. He's incredibly creative. He's like, it was a no-brainer. He knows construction, right? He could do construction. He could run rehabs, whatever. But it's like, but is that really his thing? Is that what, you know, is that like his real role? And his role is in, he's very creative. And so in terms of marketing and getting the club out there and really most importantly, what David has learned is, or what he has been able to bring to the club is getting our story out. Mm. And sharing the story about who we are, not salesy, mm-hmm. not, you know, like we were like, he's really good at marketing. The reason he's good at marketing is because he understands the power of telling the truth and telling stories, mm-hmm. storytelling about who the club is. And we have sucked at this. we have sucked at this. You know, you don't really know. And so David comes from a perspective of people need to know what we do and who we are. And so he's been in charge of the podcasting, and so I've had the most uncomfortable, honest situations that I've been put in because of my son.
How nice of you!
Can you imagine that? Right?
Just keeping it real.
He does. So he puts me. He's like, "This is what you're going to do." So I just found out yesterday that you were coming, right? So I said, "Wait, Diane's going to do a podcast? What?" And he said, "Yeah." And so we hadn't even talked about it until this morning, driving here.
Oh, no. Really? Right?
Really.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought you knew about it last night.
Oh, well, last night I did. But, I mean, I found out yesterday that you were coming. But I didn't know, like, what was the—
All she knew was that you were coming.
I found out last night you were coming. Yeah. And then today, on the way here this morning, I was said, so, like, what's your, like, what is your vision here? Like, what are we, what are we going to talk to you with Diane about? And he told me, I you know, a club member asked this question. We know how we approach homeowners, but somebody said it'd be really good to hear what happens on the homeowner's end. We think we know, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't really know. And so a club member said, I think it'd be great for us to hear from a homeowner. And so David said, let's do that. And so I was like, all right. Let's do it. And so here you are. You won the prize, which means several things. I think it means, A, that we trust you. Mm. You know, we trust you to tell the truth. I trust you. You know, we've developed a very authentic relationship. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And so.
And we know, we all know authentic relationships aren't always perfectly pretty.
No, right? It's been tough. Like, it's actually, you know, let's face it. Because we met 2 years ago. One of the pre-foreclosure or the foreclosure prevention events, right?
Right.
And so you came to the office a couple times, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've known each other, but I didn't really get to know you, obviously, until just the last several months.
Yeah,
so
it's just a face in a crowd.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't mind, Diane, sharing a little bit about, because you know you got into some trouble with your home. So if you don't mind sharing whatever you feel like sharing about kind of how you got there. Think about people listening on the other end, how they can best serve somebody in your situation.
Well, I first came because I had listened to a friend of mine who had listened to a friend of his saying that if you don't pay your mortgage and then save all that money, you can get a better house. And I don't know why I listened, but I did, and I got in trouble the first time, and Yanni helped me navigate that, and I got a modification. Mm-hmm. Then... how authentic should I be here? I got scammed after that and lost a lot of money on the scam. And I ended up having to retire early, and I was kind of without money. I was up on my payments. That wasn't a problem until I found out that when I called Keep Your Home California, they told me that I couldn't apply because I wasn't behind on my payments, which I find out later was not the truth, and I should have called you guys again. But... I was kind of in an overwhelm situation anyway, work-wise and just life-wise.
Mm-hmm. Personally.
Personally.
Yeah.
I was a wreck, just to put it lightly.
Yeah.
Titanic.
Comes to mind.
Yeah. On the bottom of the ocean with no singing. Anyway.
This is so, why we love Diane.
So I don't know why I made the decision. Well, I have to be behind. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd wait a couple of months and go to Keep Your Home California again. Mm-hmm. Well, the next thing I heard is that Keep Your Home California had gone bankrupt and they were no longer doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was in a bad situation. And I let the overwhelm rule. And I made some other bad decisions about a bad investment decision and pretty much lost everything I had in my retirement. Mm. And I don't know. There was a part of me that thought you guys might have some miracle come along when I came to talk to you guys again. And when I did talk to somebody, there was a bit of a personality.
Conflict?
Conflict, I'll say that. I felt like this person was kind of overbearing, and I was uncomfortable. And so I did not continue to talk with that person because Vianney wasn't available anymore. And bless her heart. She's lovely.
And good job, Vianney.
So I just let things go for too long. And then I had another opportunity that I could have got caught up. And again, I made another bad investment decision. I thought this investment will come back soon enough and I will have more and I'll be in good shape.
It'll get you out.
And it didn't. And so then the foreclosure process would have started, but I checked with somebody who, some kind of organization that says they'd help with foreclosures as well. And they put in a bankruptcy, which I wouldn't recommend unless you're going to do it.
Right.
It was their last-ditch effort to put off the sale and give me more time. But that just goes on my record and caused me trouble. And then I thought, well, because they did a Chapter 7, and a Chapter 7 doesn't save your house.
Right.
So I actually got with a lawyer and did a Chapter 13 and found out that the Chapter 13, and I was talking to your organization during this time, but still my head wasn't clear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how your head's clear after you lose it all, but.
Damn, I know. Gosh. Seriously.
And when it came up with the amount of money I'd have to pay in addition to everything else to cover the Chapter 13, I'm like, how can I do this? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this and keep up with all my payments. And so I was sitting there feeling completely defeated that I'd have to go through, I have to go through the foreclosure, or and didn't know what I was going to do. I was scared to death, and there was this glow, and this angel came in the room. She has red hair, and her kindness just kind of emanated throughout the room. And I have to say, I'm being silly about it, but you're really a lovely human being.
Thank you.
And it was the second time we met at my house that you said you had a solution, that you could buy my house. And I had other people who wanted to, but I didn't want to sell to anybody but you, because I knew just from the interaction we had, I felt in my spirit that it was the right decision. Later on, I thought I should have done a bankruptcy because I could have starved myself and saved my house. But as far as selling the house, I think I chose the right person to sell it to.
I appreciate that.
Because you have been very kind, and it's been an extremely hard time to go through. I ran into different personalities and getting me packed, you know. Here I am packing with friends and stuff like that, and I'm, you know, David says I didn't have urgency. He didn't know how much urgency I had. I've been begging for help. Mm-hmm. And I was willing to take the help of people who I felt didn't have my best in interests in mind, that they kind of, maybe not all of them, but mm-hmm. where I felt kind of like not allowed to go through my stuff before I pack it, you know, that I needed to prepare for me going to somewhere else so that I could get rid of stuff because I knew I had too much stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going to be able to necessarily have a garage, and I wasn't going to have all this stuff. And I needed to get, I need to look at things. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to get ready. And when I finally, and at one point I thought I wouldn't be able to find a place. Mm-hmm. I thought I would be homeless. Mm-hmm. And I went to my church and I asked for prayer, and I applied and at the place that I wanted to live, and I got turned down because of the bankruptcies and the debt that I had. And in the end, I ended up with a place that was smaller than I expected, mm-hmm. with no storage. They don't even have closets other than the ones in the bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. This is crazy. But I had a peace about it because I knew that I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. Things weren't perfect, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah.
But I know that you guys cared enough to not let me be homeless or alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I did want to wring David's neck a few times.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Because he's a dude, right? Such a boy.
Yeah, he is. He's like, I'm in charge. I'm the man.
Yeah.
And I've had to fight this part of me. And for those of you who don't know what the homeowner feels like, everything, it's like having the floor taken out from underneath you. And you need to understand that so much is going on in their head that if they come across, like I probably did, as being angry, it's because they're angry about the situation. Mm. It's not personal toward the people involved. It's just a horrible situation. And I know that it's hard to have patience. Right, David?
Oh.
Yeah. I love you. I'm just giving you a hard time.
You just keep on. Yeah. You're good. You're totally good.
It's true.
This is what we want. Yeah.
It's hard. Truth. It's hard to have patience with people that can seem, you know, that are emotional.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the walk in their shoes kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to see that. And I know that a lot of people in your organization have gone through similar things. Mm-hmm. But how they handle it doesn't mean how somebody else handles it. That's why we have different personality types. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to David about the Enneagram.
Oh, yeah. Did he tell you I sent it to him last night?
He told me, and I said I was going to recommend to her the Enneagram, uh-huh. because I go to Sandals Church, mm-hmm. and Mark Brown, mm-hmm. Matt Brown. Mm-hmm. Why did I say Mark? Mm-hmm. Forgive me, Matt. he's done more than one series on it, mm-hmm. and how it can help you with your relationships. Mm-hmm. And it would help you in business too, yeah. because if you understand that this person you're talking to doesn't have the same mindset, it would make your life a whole lot easier. And instead of going, I'm going to push my way through, I'm going to understand that this person doesn't think the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd highly recommend that.
That's great. Great advice. Really, really good counsel, because I'm 100% in agreement.
I just laughed when she said
you
it.
You did?
I was like, no way, of course.
It's so funny, because I think I know what their numbers are, you know?
Oh, so, I kind of have an idea
what
myself.
Do you think? What number do you think he is?
I told you.
Well, I was thinking a one.
He is. That's exactly right. He is a one.
I need to.
100%.
I need to read this.
Yep.
Yes, I got to do the test.
You got to do it. I want to see what you come up with, but I agree. Yep.
And when you find out what other people are, mm-hmm. it'll help you to be more sensitive, because I'm sorry.
No,
but
please.
But one's sensitivity is not their number one thing.
Trust me. Trust me.
Hi, this is Christian Rios. As many of you know, I have been a member of New Wealth Advisors Club for over 7 years and got started when I was 17 years old with absolutely no real estate experience. One of the biggest lessons I have learned from being in the industry is the need for authentic relationships. If you're looking for an actual team locally in Southern California with all the resources needed to close deals, register for one of our free workshops by visiting www.joinnwac.com. Thanks for listening to the Flippin' Off podcast.
And it's funny you mentioned, you know, like wanting to wring my neck, because I want to wring my own neck. Like, you got to know that. And so something that is really important for me to touch on here is that we're all just people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, there's
exactly.
There's nothing different about you or me sitting, we're just people. And at the end of the day, we were going through something together. We were, you know, we were going through this journey together, and it all... It's like exactly like you said, walking in someone else's shoes. Like, I have so much crap going on in my own life. You know, there's so much stuff going on mm-hmm. in the background of my own life, just as there is for you.
I sense that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm here with our team to serve you and to help you, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, my mind is racing with all the things that I have going on, but my goal is here to serve you. That doesn't mean that in the process of doing so, like, personalities don't clash and we don't, you know, always see eye to eye on things. And like, I don't just get frustrated and my flesh comes out and my sensitivity seems like it doesn't exist, even though, like, I think, you know, I very much care about you. I think, you know, how much I really do care about you. You know, that's why, you know, my wife, Kendra and I dropped it, you know, that mm-hmm. night we came to put your fridge
in. Yeah, you made me cry.
It made me cry, you know? And so I think it's important for people to realize, like, we're all people going through crap together, you know? And so it's just the human element, you know? We all need to
crap and more crap.
Right. And we all need to realize that everyone has crap going on, you know? We all do. And it's just a matter of putting people before yourself and not thinking about yourself. It all comes back to what we talk about all the time, just being selfless and trying to put other people
And believe me, I was trying to be sensitive to you because I understood your situation. You wanted me out of that house. And I'm like, I know, and I'm doing my best.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's even a level of like, I don't even want you out of the house. You know what I mean? There's like, there's part of me that's like, this is so hard. Like, all of it. Like, I don't,
yeah,
I want to, it's so many mixed emotions of what we're doing, like, and trying to want to get you to the best place as possible, and then also do, you know, accomplish what we need to accomplish and to take care of everybody in line, and then to teach people the right way to do it as we're going through it, and to make sure that we remain in integrity, because it's like, let's be honest, it's really easy to I mean, maybe not really easy, but it's easy to talk the talk. Like, we can talk about what we want to do all day, mm-hmm. but then we get into the situation and I've got all this other stuff going on and you're not quite happy with this, and I feel like I'm doing the best I can, but it doesn't seem good enough. It's like all that's just distractions, though. It really, when I at the end of the day, after I sat down with my wife and we talked about, you know, that whole scenario, I was like all of that stuff, like, you know, there was all this like commotion, it seemed like we didn't agree, and at the end of the day I just got up, drove over there, put your fridge in and got it done, and then you were happy and we were home and it was over, and there was all this stuff, and you know what I mean? It's just kind of like,
but you knew it was,
should
right.
we talk about this situation? Basically, my fridge did not fit in the new place.
Right. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
And I could see on David's face, He was not happy.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, I didn't even think about measuring it.
And I was so mad that I didn't.
And I was like, now I'm going to be without a fridge.
Right.
And then he doesn't remember this probably, but then he says, well, I'll bring you one tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And then I didn't hear anything.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to be sensitive because I know that you guys
pressure
have your own lives and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's not like all about me. Mm-hmm. And I know that. Mm-hmm. But it's all about me.
I freaking love you.
because I just in my mind, I was like, when you say something, you do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, tell me about it.
But I'm like, I understand because that would have been Sunday and that's mm-hmm. okay. But when I didn't hear anything the next couple of days and here I am without a fridge and I don't know what happened to my food and I'm just feeling like I felt really alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And then when I talked to you and you said you needed to spend time with your family, I just broke down because I'm like, I'm not trying to take you from your family.
Oh, God, I know.
I just want to be able to eat.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
And then I felt bad when you came over because I felt like I had taken you away from your situation. So it's
yeah. And see, and for me, it was like at the – you know, we had so much stuff happening regardless. It doesn't even matter. You needed a fridge. Like, you should have had a fridge. And I should have been my first priority that day. But, like, I get caught up in my own stuff and our own things going on. I have this and that and this. And then the end of the day comes and I got a text. I can't remember what exactly the text was. But I was like, we were sitting there. I was sitting there with my wife. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I didn't bring Diana a fridge.
Because you forgot.
I completely forgot about it because I had so many things happening. And I was like, she doesn't have a fridge. She, like, I don't – and all of her food's at the office. Like, what? And it's – what was it, 8 o'clock at night? I think it was something like
maybe.
That. Maybe.
Yeah,
9, something like that. And my
because
wife –
because I left it on my patio, and I would have been more than happy, like I said,
that's
to
right.
have left the door
okay.
open.
So, Josh, I had so much stuff going on that day, but it still was a priority, and she wasn't home. She couldn't be home during the middle of the day. So I brought the fridge and left it on the front porch, and then she couldn't get it inside. And so you didn't get home till later in that afternoon. I had so much stuff going on in the evening, so it was about 8:30 at night.
So there you are with your refrigerator on your porch.
On her porch, yeah.
And no food in it.
And I'm just, oh my gosh! And so we sat there, and I called her, and we got on the phone, and you could just hear the sadness and like the desperation in her voice. And I put her on speakerphone, and Kendra and I were listening, and we were like caught up in our own crap, you know, going through our own stuff, thinking that our own. And that meanwhile, I've got you on the phone. Just crying just because she just wants some food and I just want to be like, oh, what? Like, what is wrong? She just needs food. So we're okay. So
I don't know. Maybe I was just drama.
No, you no. It put it in perspective for me is what I'm trying to tell you is like I get so stuck in my own stuff that like
we all do.
And like I can't deny it. I'm just being authentic with you, which is why I want you here because this isn't comfortable for me to talk about. You know, none of this.
Not your proudest moment.
Not my proudest moment at all. You know, because but I just want to be honest about it because this is what it is. You know, so at the end of the day, we got up, we drove our butts over there, and I packed the fridge in, and we brought the food from the office and filled it up, and everything was, you know, everything
with some extra soda.
With some extra soda. Good. And we thought we lost the food, and so an extra $500 for groceries. And
I was like, then I cried some more because I felt like, I don't deserve this.
Aww.
You know, but I sense from you, you may be a one, but you are teachable and caring, and you are a warm person, and I know that next time you'll do better.
Mm-hmm. I hope.
Well,
so.
You know, the thing is about one,
and you're doing. You know, I don't know how to say. You know, things weren't perfect, but I do know that the people that came, they really tried to be sensitive to me, and they were kind, the people from your organization, especially Kim.
Mm. I was going to say, mention Kim, yeah.
adore her to the moon and back. She offered to help me some more and just on her own. And just, you know, I want to keep her in my pocket. She's just a sweet.
She's small enough too.
So, and like one, like a piece was broken and the person came to me and said, I'm really sorry. You know, it wasn't like I'm trying to avoid this, deal with the situation. And although it's not great that it's broken, I wasn't upset as I would be later if I'd have found out it was broken and nobody said something to me. So that was thoughtful because I knew in this whole situation that nobody was going to help me if it wasn't for you guys. You know, I knew that I was getting a good deal. And as hard as it was for me, I was grateful for that. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. You know, I was thinking back to the first time I came to your house. And remember, we tried to go through every single way we could think of to help you stay there.
Yeah.
We really did.
Yeah.
And then I remember at some point coming to the realization that this just wasn't going to happen.
Not unless I mean, I'd have to really have sacrificed and maybe I could have, but it just didn't seem to me feasible at the moment. And when you came back again and offered, because location, location, location.
Right, right.
I had a good location. It's right down the road from
the office. Yeah, that's what made it. That's what made it. Actually, yeah. that's it is. It is kind of crazy. Right. Because from my perspective, it's, you know, it wasn't like a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the numbers, they don't work. Right. It worked only because of my personal situation and because of your personal situation. It's the only reason that this thing even happened the way that it did.
I like to think of it as being a God thing, too.
Oh. I 1,000% agree with that. 1,000%. I mean, I know that to be true.
Yeah.
100%. No doubt.
And I think we're on the same page with that.
We are. I know that that has been the thing that has, you know, it's like if there's anything I could say to people from my perspective, dealing with lots and lots and lots of homeowners over the years, you know, your faith has been the thing that has kept you grounded. That's the truth.
Yeah.
It's kept you rational. Like people think, oh, faith is just a crutch. I hate it when people say this, right? Oh, it's just a crutch for weak people, right? But I know that real faith lived
tough.
Out. You better believe it. It's because it does. You have shown what it looks like to be a believer for real, and not
you
really have, because you've been rational and reasonable, even in all of the chaos and all of the emotion that you have been experiencing personally and all the loss that you've experienced and the betrayal that you've experienced, you know, from outside, you know, and those other situations, you haven't allowed that to identify you. So even though you took like a huge blow personally, it didn't take over Diane. Like Diane is still a follower of Christ. And
always.
And that has shown up in the way that you've behaved. So you've acknowledged, you know, where you are. And that's really what faith is, isn't it? It is for us to become more like him. And we do that progressively.
Yeah.
And, right?
And it's about being real.
Yeah.
With our messed upness.
Yeah.
With our, our faults, and also being able to be honest with other people when you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to talk to you about things that, and I give credit to I was going to say Matt Brown again, for being an amazing pastor, and the theme of our church is being real with God, ourselves, and others, is that if you're not real, you're not an authentic person who's able to be honest with others and also have them be honest with you, then you're not living life to the fullest that God intended.
Amen. Amen. You know,
confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, you may be healed. Mm-hmm. It's about one another. It's about relationship, and we need to be in relationship with ourselves so that we understand what it is that's bothering us, what it is that we love, what it is that we can't stand, and be able to communicate that to people so that people can be in relationship with us.
Yeah. Know us.
Know us.
Yeah, to really know each other.
Right.
You know, to be seen and to see.
Exactly.
And that's what I think. I know that's why we've been able to manage this relationship and why we've been able to navigate through the bumpy road that it is. There's been right. this underlying, and we always say it to each other, you know, like, hey, right? Like, yeah. Oh, this sucks and this was really rough, but God.
Yeah.
You know, but God, we know that, you know, our time here is small. We know we're going to be in eternity together forever.
And things are not everything.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
I have to say that considering how much that I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
The mountain of stuff that I gave away. But
do you feel a little bit of freedom about that, though? Has there been some freedom for you?
I knew that I needed to go through that garage, and it was definitely freeing to get rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's also heartbreaking because there are stuff that I probably would have kept if I hadn't of course. Then again, what would I have done with all of those books? I'm sorry.
They'd be stacked on the porch. There's no room.
But I know that I could have given them to an organization that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they'll end up there.
I think they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those guys took them. They said they had some donation place that they could go. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the Salvation Army or if it was, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we trust, you know, we trust the Lord and all that. You know, something that happened to me one time is that somebody broke into my car. They smashed the passenger window, and they grabbed my bag, right? It was like sitting on the front seat, and they grabbed the bag and they took it. And there was a few things in there that mattered, like a watch that my husband had given me was in there, and there were a few things that, you know, stuff.
Right.
But the biggest thing was I have always kept an answered prayer journal, or just like journal of like prayers.
Oh, and they took that.
Yeah. So you know what? It was like what I realized was, you know, there was like a part of me like, oh my gosh, there was so much in there that I wanted to be able to pass on, that I wanted to be able to share. And I just heard in my spirit, like, why would you think that's not going to happen?
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Right. So that's my encouragement to you in that is that, you know, God's going to use it.
Well, one of the gentlemen that I gave some of the stuff to, he, you know, he came over to my new place and mm-hmm. I gave him some more stuff because I'm still going through stuff.
Uh-huh.
He came back and made another round.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that he did that. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Because I told him that it would be fine if he did.
Yeah, I think he might have even twice. There was a bunch of stuff gone, like more than half of the stuff in the courtyard. And it was all gone. So I looked through everything there, and it was mostly not usable stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Did you ever get the sink?
I did. Yeah. Oh, no, the sink wasn't in the trunk. We opened up that trunk.
He must have taken the sink.
Mm.
Oh, I'm sure he did. That makes sense.
Let's explain this. I bought the sink for the house. It was a shell-shaped white sink.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But it would have been like a above-the-counter sink.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Not, and I told David he could have it. Please don't let this be thrown out.
And I looked for it right after you said that. I went there and I looked for it, and we opened.
He must have taken that.
I think he had already gotten it because there was a bunch more gone when I had gone there. So,
well, that's good.
That is good. I mean,
that's his business, and it'll bless him. And he's a godly man.
You just never know how things are going to happen, right? It's so interesting. And you know what I believe? It's all still pretty raw, right, for you right now, for us right now, because, you know, you're still, like you said, you're still going through stuff. So it's still pretty new. And I'm just thinking about...
There's still stuff at the house.
Yeah. I'm thinking about what this is going to look like in 2 years.
And well, I'm going to have that business with you.
Boom. Mm-hmm. You know what?
Do you want me to tell them?
Sure. Go ahead. Share it. Because, one of the things we connected on,
did she just now tell you? She shared.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there's something called kintsugi. It's a Japanese art where they take pottery and dishes that are broken and repair them with gold, showing that something that has been broken can be more beautiful once having been broken, and you don't throw it away. And so I shared this with Melina, and she connected with that. And
I actually asked her to teach a class for us. I said, would you be willing to teach a class?
And I'm planning that. Once I kind of get more settled down here, or at least get all the stuff out of the house, then... You know, I've got all kinds of ideas about how it can happen, and that's kind of like my dream job, to be able to do that. And partnering up with you with something that's so meaningful to both of us, I think will be healing not just for us, but for a lot of people.
I agree.
We need to see that we're all broken and that brokenness can be beautiful. Mm. It's not ugly unless you don't do anything about it.
Mm. God, that's such a perfect analogy. And I think it's a perfect way to end this podcast, which is this: broken things can be beautiful as long as you do something with it. And I was thinking, think about broken glass. We sweep it up and we throw it away, you know? And that is the wrong thing to do, because God makes beauty out of ashes. And so thank you for that, for your perspective. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for being willing to come in here and share so transparently. And I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do in terms of healing, because imagine Diane the healer.
Well, if you want to hire me to help with homeowners, I think I have some perspective. I could be your consultant.
Look at her. That's really good. That's really good. All right. Well, I think our time is up. And so, I am Melina Boswell. And
I'm Davey Boswell.
And we are. Oh, and you are.
And I'm Diane Freimeyer.
Yes, you are. And we are all flipping out.
Later.
I'm Melina Boswell, your host of the Flippin' Off podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we'd love for you to subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and tell your friends all about us. You can find more episodes of the Flippin' Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you like to listen to awesome podcasts like this. If you like what you've heard, we'd really appreciate it if you'd follow us on Facebook and Instagram and tell us the stories that you'd like to hear. Tim Jackson is our senior producer. Luke Jackson is our editor. Brothers. Josh Maldin is our producer. Sound design by Frequency Factory. Our executive producer is Mind and Mill. This was all created by Dave Boswell for New Wealth Advisors Club.